Genesis chapter 24. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 67. Genesis 24, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born at Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." And she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward it, my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets of his sister on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." And the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family. For if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your son, your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. So they sent Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And those are God's words. So some of you remember way back when I first came here to pastor that I preached through Genesis. We went through Genesis, and we covered quite extensively the what to look for in a spouse in this chapter. And here, if we're maybe looking at it in a little different light, here we see a father's care to see his son married to a godly woman. We see that Abraham gives careful directions through verse 9 to his servant of what kind of a woman to find. And so there's many details here that we need to see, and yet we don't have time to go through all of them. But especially you parents and fathers, and then also you children, listen. This may appear to be, some of you might think, this is an arranged marriage. And it kind of looks like an arranged marriage, but in our minds, an arranged marriage is here, let these parents get together and they decide our children are going to marry with no input from their children. Yet we see in this passage, verse 58, Rebekah says that she will go and marry Abraham's son. In verse 67, the same for Isaac. She takes her in and they are married. But throughout we see two families looking for a spouse for their children. And not just any spouse, particular details requiring holiness and godliness, etc., that we covered previously. And so, beloved, just as the last chapter ended with a funeral, here this chapter ends with the blessing of a marriage. A marriage that's designed by God to show forth an image forth Christ and His church. And so we need to ask the questions of ourselves and our marriages. Are our marriages, are your marriages showing and imaging this picture forth of Christ and the church? Husbands, are you loving your wife, sacrificing for your wife? And wives, are you submitting to and respecting your husbands and living, both of you, in godly and holy lives for Christ's sake? Christ calls you to turn unto Him in this passage, reminding us of our own marriages and then, children, of what is required of you to be married and to come into marriage, so that you can prepare for it. That we would learn to love as Christ loved us. That we learn to sacrifice as Christ sacrificed for us. That we learn to submit as Christ learned, the church submits to Christ and we reverence Him in all things. And all of us need to learn those lessons from our Lord. And so we ought to turn to Him in faith and follow after Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that You do not leave areas of life where You don't counsel us through Your Word. Every area that we must engage in throughout our life, whether it is birth, whether it is in growing up, becoming married, being married, working, even dying. We know that You, in all of this, teach us Your ways. And You guide us in the path to follow after Your Son, Jesus Christ. He who is holy, holy, holy. In which You call us then in union with Him to be holy as He is holy. And Father, as we think of that, we think upon our marriages and we ask for Your forgiveness, for we are weak and we are failing often every day in what You call us to as spouses, as husbands and wives. And oftentimes we are selfish. We don't communicate well. We don't love each other. We'd rather we love ourselves more than we love our spouse. And yet You call us to a sacrifice to love the other. And we ask that You would help us in these things and grow us in faith. Just as we heard, to trust You that You will deliver us and save us. Father, we're thankful for Your providence and all the things that You're bringing about. Some of them don't seem very good. Some seem good. But in all things, we know that You work together all things for our good. for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so we put our faith in your promises. We put our faith in your promises. Even as we consider during this year, many who have turned from you, and many churches closing, many Christians no longer worshiping, some even knowing they must worship and worship in person with others, and yet somehow it doesn't seem right for them to do. And they know it's wrong, and yet they're still confused and conflicted. Father, we might see, it seems like the church is declining, that the church is turning more and more away from you, or that the church is dying. And that may be, in some ways, true. And yet we know your promises that, of course, the gates of Hades will never overcome the church. The church will never be defeated. Your kingdom will never be defeated because Christ, your Son, reigns on the throne. And you've given those promises that we know about, that we've studied well recently in Psalm 72 and even Psalm 2 and Ephesians 1 and Matthew 28. These promises, even Romans 11, these promises that you are going to build your church. And you will continue doing that. That all nations will bow before Christ, your Son. That wicked kings will bring gifts to Christ. They will be made to. That all the fullness of the Gentiles will be brought in, which will make jealous the Jews. And so the many Jews of your elect will be brought in. And then even more Gentiles come in. And so we trust your promises, even though at the current time, even in accordance with your word, in the current time, there are beasts and blasphemies all over the place. We look in hope for the future, even if we are not here and we've already died. We look in hope for the future, for the church and the spread of your kingdom on earth. And we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for our nation. We ask that you would turn this nation to yourself, that they would bow the knee to Christ, whether as citizens or rulers, that we would all bow the knee to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Ruler of Rulers and the God of Gods, the Alpha and the Omega, and the bright morning star. Father, we pray that you would lift up and encourage the people of God, that we would put off our anxiety, that we would put off being downcast, and we would look in joy to your Son by the Holy Spirit and the grace that you pour out to us. And that will never end because you are our rock and our fortress. And you are the one who provides for your people physically and spiritually. That even if persecution comes and suffering comes, that we know the promise that those who suffer with Christ will be glorified together with Him. And we even thank you now that we have a mediator King who lives to make intercession for us and prays for us and perfects our prayers, perfects our worship. And you receive us for His sake. Father, we're thankful that Larry's surgery went well and he's with us again this morning. We're thankful for the what we'll be able to read about and hear about maybe in a couple weeks of what's happening in Pakistan with a church already there, but also now two mission works going on, and we're thankful for this, and even more prospects of other works happening. We're thankful that you are using our denomination and our presbytery to help and send people to that place to minister to the many who are in their sins and in false religion of Islam, and even in Roman Catholicism, and bringing them out of that to the truth of the Scriptures and the salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us, your people, not because we deserve it, but because of your Son Jesus Christ, that we would be your instruments in this place, on this earth, and in this city, for your glory and for the spread of the gospel to all nations, that those promises at some point in the future will come about, in which we put our hope and trust in. We look forward now to the heavenly country that awaits us, and even if our bodies die, that you will raise them up again and give us new glorified bodies. And so, Father, help us now as we continue worshiping you, that your name would be exalted in all things, even in our trials and our struggles. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.